From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. And on this day, teacher pay in Maine is some of the lowest in the country. We'll look at how the legislature is trying to address that. And big changes in Bangor. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Law Offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Teachers in Maine have the lowest starting pay in New England, and Maine ranks 41st in the nation for teacher salaries. Lawmakers are considering some measures aimed at addressing that issue. Mel Leary has more.
If State Senator Rebecca Millette has her way, teachers in Maine would earn a minimum salary of $40,000 a year. The South Portland Democrat told members of the legislature's Education Committee that many young teachers are graduating with heavy debt, and that Maine schools will face a growing shortage of teachers if nothing is done to make the profession more financially attractive.
Nearly one-third of our teachers are 55 years or older, so that in the next 5 to 7 years, thousands of Maine educators are going to retire. Today, we already have teacher shortages in industrial arts, mathematics, science, special education.
Several teachers testified that low pay has made them think about a career change. Cassandra Edwards of Kittery says she loves teaching, but feels that the job is undervalued.
I didn't get into teaching for the money, but every once in a while it comes up that people with way less essential jobs than me make way more money than I do, and it's a little frustrating and depressing.
Edwards says she and her husband decided to put off starting a family because they were worried about whether they could pay for child care. Other teachers talked about difficulty in buying a home because of their low pay. Several educational organizations told lawmakers that while they support the concept of raising teacher pay, they take issue with some of the other provisions of the legislation. One would require a grade point average of better than 3.0 to become a certified teacher and qualify for the minimum salary of $40,000 a year. Dick DeRoss, the executive director of the Maine Principals Association, says that in his years of hiring teachers, he hasn't found that the grade point average in college is a good predictor of teaching ability. He says he has not hired some candidates with high grades because he could tell during the interview process that they would not make good teachers.
I've also known and hired a lot of people that had less than a 3.0, and for many of those, they ended up being the best teachers.
No one opposed the legislation at the hearing, but in his weekly radio address, Governor Paul LePage made a case that a better way to achieve higher teacher pay would be a statewide teacher contract. He said the average salary for teachers in all of New England is $70,000 a year, and Maine teachers deserve higher pay.
In Maine, they settle for $20,000 less, which is $8,000 below the national average. Sadly, union bosses who claim to represent our educators don't want to work on solutions that will increase teacher wages.
LePage says past efforts to improve teacher salaries have failed, and teachers are being hired for less than the current minimum salary of $30,000 a year. LePage's proposal and other bills dealing with a statewide contract for teachers have yet to be taken up in committee. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Maine's third largest city is in the midst of a transformation. As the major service center hub for northern and eastern parts of the state, Bangor has become attractive to developers who want to take advantage of prime retail space downtown. And as A.J. Higgins reports, they are also adding residential housing to the mix, which is changing the city's vibe.
5 years ago, Bangor Community and Economic Development Director Tanya Emery says there were a dozen empty buildings in the heart of the city's downtown that hadn't welcomed a customer in years. Many were built after a 1911 fire devastated Bangor's downtown and were in varying states of deterioration. And downtown traffic? It had been increasingly moving towards the outskirts of the city in the direction of the Bangor Mall for years.
There were a lot of loyalists who stayed true to downtown, but it really was something that people had written off for a number of years.
But over the last 5 years, there's been a wave of new investment in many of the old buildings. Last year, the city completed a $975,000 upgrade to the West Market Square area, which now features new restaurants and outdoor bistro seating. Emery says redevelopment interest can be traced back to 2002, when Bangor first hosted the National Folk Festival.
The Folk Festival was really something that helped people think about Bangor differently, just sort of universally. People from all across the country all of a sudden were seeing Bangor as a destination for arts and culture entertainment, and it made Bangor think a little bit differently about what Bangor was capable of pulling off.
Emery says young professionals and retiring baby boomers are attracted to the city's proximity to the great outdoors and downtown amenities. And developers are responding by building new apartments over storefronts in buildings that they're renovating. Barry Newport lives above a Main Street burrito restaurant where she says she feels right at home.
I mean, this is a great room. And I thought this was the foreman's office. It's my office now.
Newport is only a few footsteps away from her job at the Penobscot Theater Company, where she works as the venue's producing artistic director. She likes the convenience of living downtown, but what she really appreciates are the tin walls and ceilings and spacious skylights. These were all features that convinced Abe and Heather Firth to buy the building as the site of their second restaurant. The Bangor couple also own the Orono Brewing Company. During recent renovations for their new brew pub, they discovered that the building was in the former home of the Bangor Cigar Manufacturing Company that went out of business more than 50 years ago. Abe Firth says Bangor's old buildings are brimming with charm, like the gigantic cigar humidors that he was able to reincorporate in the apartments above 26 State Street. He says young entrepreneurs see the value of combining commercial and residential space.
There's a lot of people that have the same goal, which is take these buildings that are fire dangers, that are totally unused, and breathe new life into them. And that's a combination of the city government, the state, and the local developers and the local folks that are doing all the plumbing and electrical and build out. It's a combination of talents that lets it happen.
Adam Moskowitz is one of the major talent scouts in Bangor's new wave of redevelopment. He recently purchased an entire 6-building block downtown. Once a major commerce center in Bangor, the buildings are anchored by two unique properties, a bank with numerous vaults, carved woodwork and marble floors and walls, and the 1892 Nichols Building, one of the few buildings to survive the fire, featuring a 3,000-square-foot third-floor ballroom with carved balconies and a performance stage. The block was on the market last fall with a price tag of nearly $2 million. Moskowitz competed with other bidders to purchase the property, and he included an essay that he thinks closed the deal for him. His subject? Why he's uniquely qualified to deliver a development project that fits in Bangor.
I just believe that I definitely have an affinity towards Bangor, and I've done other projects in the past that I've given back to the city of Bangor, and I believe in my own community, and basically I want to help grow or regrow or advance Bangor into, the next century, really.
With new living and commercial downtown spaces available, all the developers need now are tenants. City officials such as Tanya Emery say hopes are high for the new downtown retail space and apartments. But she also says it may take time for landlords to find just the right tenants for just the right properties. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Ah, the sounds of spring. Peepers, songbirds, revving engines. Producer Matt Roberts stopped by opening day at Oxford Plains Speedway in Oxford recently and filed this audio postcard.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another action-packed season of stock car racing competition here at Oxford Plains Speedway.
It's an adrenaline thing. Gary Shackford, driver of the Pass Modified number 28. You strap the helmet on, get behind the wheel, and you go out and try to finish ahead of any cars. Everybody wants to win, but everybody can't win. You just want to compete. This will be my first race back in about 14 years, and we're gonna see if we can't make a good day of it.
Been coming to this track 49 years today. It's a whole different experience compared to driving on the road. I mean, when you're going down the road at 55, 60 miles an hour, you're out here doing 75, 80 miles an hour on the straightaway. You can get away with it, you know.
44 cars will attempt qualifying for today's 150 green flag lap Super Late Model Main Event.
My wife was actually interested in it first. And we went to a couple of races.
So where's your wife?
She's at home. She's quilting right now. So.
Last call for the driver's meeting.
And we got a driver's meeting coming up here in a few minutes. Drivers will gather around and they'll tell us what they want us to do and what they don't want us to do.
Yeah, going through the day, you kind of think about the race more and more the closer it gets. And just think about what you're going to do and how things are going to work out. And try to stay away from the bad stuff. So if you think about how am I going to wreck today, don't think that. That's not good.
We just had a wreck just a few minutes ago, and it was pretty sketchy there, but everybody made it through it. And...
All right, he's third. Back in action. How about a big round of applause for Gary Shackford? Having fun down here in Victory Lane, but it's a lot more fun in the race car, ain't it? Being behind the wheel of the race car is really where I'm most comfortable.
It gets kind of loud toward the end and everything. You know, everybody's trying harder, jockeying for position. So.
He's out of the car, ladies and gentlemen. How about a round of applause, Reed Lanford?
Just so happens to be my dad's birthday yesterday and my crew chief Jason Erker's birthday today, so I couldn't think of a better birthday gift for him. So happy birthday, guys.
Have a blast every time I come here. Anybody that hasn't been here, you ought to come.
So on behalf of the Mayberry family and the entire staff and management here at the Speedway, thanks for coming. Drive home safely, and we hope to see you here in 2 weeks.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Wednesday, May 3rd, thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.